Welcome to Life Together, a podcast for Gresham Bible Church, where we exist to glorify God in being disciples who make disciples of all people through the transforming power of the gospel. Our summer mission team to Tanzania will be flying out in just a few weeks. So we thought it'd be helpful to have a conversation to help keep all of GBC updated and to inform our prayers. So join us to hear the latest about the plan for the team, how you can be praying for them as they make final preparations, how you can pray for them as they're in Tanzania, and how you can pray for each member of the team and support them when they return. Conversation about the upcoming summer mission trip to Tanzania, have a chance for GBC to just be in the loop on things so our church can know how to be praying for you and everyone going, and then we'll talk about when people return. But first, I started nerding out a little bit, and I wanted to share this with everybody. Okay. Did you know Oregon to Tanzania is 9,447 miles.
It's a long ways.
That's a long ways away. And how long is the flight there and back?
Travel time to get there with layovers will be about 43 hours. Ooh. And on the way home, it's only like 37, 38.
So, only.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Buckle up.
Yeah.
And then there's this cool website I found. I'm going to speak totally from a place of ignorance, as is the story of my life. It's called, in geographical terms, an antipod. So basically, like when you were a kid, maybe it was just me and my brothers, we used to like dig holes and picture if you dug through the center of the earth, right? So an antipod is a straight line from one point on the surface of the earth. If you dug straight through the earth's core, where would you come out on the other side? There's a cool website. I plugged in Gresham, Oregon, and the antipod to Gresham, Oregon is off the coast of South Africa on the eastern side into the Indian Ocean, basically very close to Tanzania.
So it's literally the other side of the world we're
literally
going to.
Literally very close to the other side of the world. How cool is that?
That's really cool.
Super cool. Yeah. Yeah, which is crazy. It's just a few weeks away. So
4 weeks.
Yeah. So it's maybe process this together, welcome in GBC and into this to give praise to the Lord and inform our prayers. Like, what have you been seeing, hearing? What have you been encouraged by as the team has been preparing over these last few months? Like, what comes to mind?
Well, the excitement of our students would be the first thing that comes to mind. I think they're more excited than all the adults are. I mean, I'm excited too. Don't get me wrong.
But,
I mean, I feel like it's topic of conversation every time I see them, and just the joy that they have when they bring it up and telling me, oh, I'm doing Duolingo or whichever app that they're learning Swahili. I didn't tell them to do that. They just started doing that on their own. And I've been memorizing the Romans Road. And I've had all the students at this point have all shared their testimonies at youth group now. And they've done a great job. And some students who it's tough for them to do public speaking were some of the first to volunteer, which was really cool. And just how they've shared their stories, I think, has been good for themselves, but also for our youth group to hear our students talking about their struggles. They've been very open and honest and vulnerable of struggles they've had, and giving good challenges to the rest of the youth group and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, seeing the students be excited is really fun, and knowing that there's several going who are wondering about full-time calls to ministry or to missionary work. And even in the application process, talked about that they really want to do an international trip as a confirmation or a next step or a door being slammed in their face of, nope, international missions is not something you're called to. And so, yeah, I'm excited to see what the long-term aspect of this trip is going to do for our young people, and then our church as a whole. Of, we have adults going as well, and the church has been so supportive of praying for us. I get texts once a week of how can we be praying for the Tanzania team from different people.
Amen.
And obviously financially they've been generous as well. But if our students and adults that are going on this trip come back fired up about international missions, and if we have some who feel like this is what I'm supposed to do with my life, I think that's just going to continue to mold the culture of GBC to become more international mission focused.
Amen, man. I'm right there with you. I know we shared this or talked about it at a recent members meeting, but the prayer from this is that, Lord willing, at least one person from this trip the Lord uses this in some kind of way to direct them to go to the nations.
Yeah.
So to go to the foreign mission field, like I'm so excited about this too. And I think we should be, we can pray big ways and ask God to do big things, through that. How about, you mentioned it briefly. I thought we could kind of, unpack it a little bit. Mm-hmm. What have you been encouraged by? What have you seen in terms of like the life of this local church? How, we've never done a mission trip like this.
Yeah.
We're 18 years old, so we're learning. Mm-hmm. I've been super encouraged to see and hear people talking about it, but maybe you could unpack that. Like you said, you hear from people asking to pray. Maybe you could give a few examples of that. In what other ways have you seen the body kind of wrap around the team so that team feels like, hey, we're being sent by GBC?
Yeah. Well, I'll give props first to Jan Wells and the women's ministry. Jan right away came up to Taylor and I, and she said, I do not feel called to go, but I feel called to support you all. And man, she has proven that over and over. So she immediately asked, can I create prayer teams for each person? I said, yeah, I'm not going to stop you from doing that. So she got people within the church that are assigned to each individual person and of the team. And then those prayer partners will reach out to them of how can I be praying for you? And
love it.
And I believe that they're praying for us on a weekly basis. Jan and some women get together weekly to pray. And so she'll text me the morning of that of, hey, what's the news thing I can be praying for? She's worked with the women's ministry as well of, we found out some things that we could bring to Tanzania that is harder for them to get there that is helpful. So feminine products is really difficult to get. And so I am going to have at least one or two suitcases of feminine products that we're bringing. And I mean, that's just a tangible thing, but she just organized that and made it happen. We're starting to prep final stuff for sports balls and things like that we can bring. And her and others have said, hey, if you can't get stuff, you know, immediately talk to us. We'll help you. Oh, and then, well, this might... Jan has a surprise for the students in the bags. I'll say that. I don't want to say it in case the students listen to this, but she's been really great. And and shout out to the other people who have come alongside her to do that. But it's just been really fun to see that. And then even at community, like our community group and stuff, one of the most common questions I get from people there of, you know, how's the week going? It's just how are the students doing? How's the Tanzania team doing? So there, I feel like I can feel the excitement from the church, and especially being 4 weeks away now, that this is not some far off project.
Like
we are very close to doing this. And I've definitely felt supported as, you know, being blessed to lead this team, but also just overhearing and seeing the interactions between other people. Yeah. I don't doubt at all that the church is ready for this.
Yeah. Amen. Thanks. It's really helpful to hear you explain that and speak to that. And amen. I've been so encouraged as a member, so personally, also pastorally, just to see, even feel kind of the generosity and engagement that the body has had with this. Man, I praise God for it. And I hope it continues.
Yeah,
so,
you too.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right. Why don't we kind of look ahead? So when you and the team are in Tanzania here in just a few weeks, what are you going to be doing? Talk to us about those key things so everybody kind of knows what to picture, what the team's going to be involved with.
Yeah, so we'll fly on the way there. I'll give a little bit of a breakdown of that. It's actually two different flights to get there because that's just how tickets worked out. Don't worry, we're all going to be safer with adults divided. So some of us fly to Seattle and then to Qatar. Some of us fly to LA and then to Qatar. And then we're all together once we get to Qatar. From Qatar, we fly to Dar es Salaam, which is the capital of Tanzania. And then they have instead of having to drive 12 hours from Dar es Salaam to Iringa, which is where we're going, which is more central Tanzania and it's higher elevation. It takes a long time to get there. Roads aren't super paved, especially once you get out of Dar, which is a big capital city. So we're actually chartering a plane,
nice.
Which is fun.
I'm picturing like Indiana Jones when you saw the plane go across
the world. Exactly like that. There's going to be a red line on us. So it's only an hour flight to do that, which is much nicer. So we'll land on Saturday, the 20th, we'll meet Agrippa Chiamagioli. So he is a dear brother in Christ, pastor friend. Taylor and I and Nicole LeBlond met him, would have been two times ago that I went on that trip. So that would have been back in 2000 and 2009, if I'm remembering correctly, 2008. He was a translator that was part of a big team. We had gone with Pathway Church back then, and I became really good friends with him. He became friends with lots of us, and I just kept in contact with him. I already knew I was going into full-time ministry at that point. And so when I took a team back in 2016 from Kansas City, Missouri, when I was a youth pastor there, just a team of seven. We're taking 21 this time. And we went to his hometown. So he's been a pastor in Iringa for several decades now. He also works with local schools and stuff. He's just well connected in the community. Iringa is a town of about 200,000 people. So it'd be similar to Gresham. It's higher elevation. It's going to be their winter when we're there. So it's going to be like in the low 60s while we're there, which sounds perfect to me.
Yeah.
And so with the connections he has and knowing that we're bringing students, he really wants us to focus on doing peer-to-peer student-to-student ministry. So we'll go to church on Sunday morning at his church. I'm preaching, I found out. Last time I had noticed when I landed on the ground that he wanted me to preach some sermons. I get a couple weeks ahead of time.
Glad you got a heads up.
Yeah. So we'll go to service there, which GBC, if you think an hour and a half service is long, I suspect that's going to be close to a 3-hour Sunday morning service is how they roll there. And then we'll get to Sunday afternoon, have lunch with the church, get to meet them, meet a lot of the students there. And then he emailed me a schedule. He wants to take us to, I don't know how you pronounce it, Isamila Old Stone Age and Historical Site, which is, it's like a museum, but also this cool land feature that kind of will give us some history of Iringa and Africa. So he wants to take us there on Sunday. And then Monday, we're going to hit the ground rolling. We're going to go to Spring Valley Secondary School. So we'll be working with students ages 12 through 17. So that's like seventh grade to seniors. I think they stopped their last year at 17. So education there. You go to school until you're like 9 or 10, and then you have to pay for school after that.
Wow.
So every school is like a charter school, basically, or private school. And sometimes they live at the schools. I'm not sure with this school if they live there or if they go home. But he wants us on Monday and Tuesday, how he put it is, we're going to join with the students for debates, discussions, and social interactions, and a chance for us to share the gospel.
Wow.
So we're going to create some, put our students in small groups to just talk about life of what it is to be a teenager, a student, even on literally halfway different parts of the world. Chance for us to do some Roman road that we've practiced and sharing our testimonies and things. And then in the afternoons on Monday and Tuesday, we'll come back and lead like games and sport camp sort of thing. So we're planning to bring a whole lot of soccer balls, volleyball nets, portable soccer goals with us. I'm hoping to bring some Frisbees. They've never really seen Frisbees before.
Wow.
It's a fun thing to do. So it'll just be some fellowship time in the afternoon and maybe teach them some of the silly games we do at youth group. And so we'll do that Monday and Tuesday at the school. Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to be specifically at Revival Church, which is where Agrippa pastors. And so that'll be different of not as much gospel preaching opportunity, but discipleship with the students who are already attending at his church. And that'll be some younger kids as well. Not just 12 to 17. So he wants us to, I think it's sounding like we're going to do almost like a vacation Bible school sort of thing in the morning, especially for the younger kids, of teaching Bible stories, leading Bible story stuff. And then in the afternoons, hang out with their whole church and do some sports game activities with them. I'm not sure what all that'll entail. There's, you know, our student ministry unofficial name is Pivot, and on mission trips, any camp, the phrase that I learned back in the day is that's the way we like it, of just whatever happens, that's the way we like it. We're going to pivot. There's no, even though Agrippa sent me this schedule, there is no guarantee that this is what we do when we land there. So yeah, Monday through Thursday will be long. Well, and Sunday through Thursday will be long, long, full days of just hanging out with people doing ministry. And then we are on Friday. Agrippa was very adamant about this. He's taking us to a wildlife preserve. It's a real African safari. That these are acres and acres of nothing fenced in, and Rua, the park, game park we're going to, is like one of the most famous in Eastern Africa.
I was watching a video with my son Noah about it. It looks awesome.
So this will be, we've done the game park every time I've gone. And it's incredible. I mean, yes, that's not the main reason we're going, but it's cool to see God's creatures and the beautiful creation just out roaming, and gives you a better appreciation of maybe we shouldn't have zoos. That's another podcast. Just letting these animals roam is pretty fun. And then we, Saturday morning, we'll hop on a plane from Iringa to Dar and begin the long travel back home. So it's going to be a quick week. It, you know, 7 days we're in country, and it's going to feel fast, but I'm just praying and hoping for real connections for us to happen with the people we interact with, and for the Holy Spirit to be working on hearts of these students who have not yet heard the gospel and accepted Jesus. And for those who have at Revival Baptist, that maybe we can challenge and equip each other to go deeper in our walks with Christ.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm excited for our students, what they're going to learn. How about that kind of brings up a point. I'd love to hear you speak into this a little bit. This is hours and hours conversation. What if someone hears this in the life of GBC? Hey, that's great, but it sounds like there's a faithful local church there. Why do we need to go? What kind of encouragement would you give to someone who in good understandable ways questions the purpose of short-term missions? Yeah. What's the good of this, would you say?
I mean, that is a great question. And I think it's okay to not always be like 100% in favor. I don't think short-term mission trips are the way to create long-term healthy churches. I'll say that. But I think that there is a value in, really, it might be selfish for our own team in a lot of ways, of what this is going to do for them, of opening their eyes to very different culture. Iringa is, I think, I have the stats for me, 33% are impoverished, 44% don't have clean drinking water. It might be more than that. I mean, we're going to drink out of bottled water the whole time. So this is a very poor area. There's many orphans and houseless, homeless people just living on the streets. That really opens your eyes to what's happening in the world around you, that we can really get in our bubbles, especially being in a quote unquote Christian nation, even in the Northwest, which is the least churched. It's still very different. Yeah. We're going to people that there are local churches there, but we're going to interact with some students who have not yet heard the gospel. Mm. And sometimes when you have peer-to-peer type stuff happening, that might be a better, I don't know, more effective way for those students to hear the gospel. I mean, Matthew 28 is, we are called to go to the ends of the earth. And so, yes, there's local churches there, but we're going to support and help a local church. We're not trying to come and tell Agrippa this is how to do things and take over things. I think there's just something beautiful too about the kingdom of God working alongside each other. I'm most excited to just see my dear brother in Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, and anyone who goes on this trip, if they don't come back more fired up in Gresham of, I need to be more passionate about my faith and evangelize more, you're going to feel that after you meet Agrippa. So, I mean, like, he's just such an encouragement. And it helps me every time I do international trips to realize this is so much bigger than me. This is so much bigger than Gresham Bible Church or East County or whatever, that God is at work in amazing, great ways. And it makes, when I pray for Agrippa and Revival Baptist Church, I have a face and a person and a brother I love that I'm specifically praying for, that I think that there's good benefit in it. Now, there's something to be said of still being good stewards with our time and our resources and money when we do short-term trips. But we talked already earlier, if this sparks one or more students to pursue full-time missions, that seems like a worthwhile investment for our church to do to support that church. And who knows, maybe one of them is going to fall in love with Iringa, Tanzania, and say, Agrippa, can I come move here and help you in the local church here? Like, I don't know. But I think a lot of times if we don't put ourselves feet on the ground in the types of places we need to go, then we probably never will go, because it's just too out there, not tangible to us.
Yeah, good word, man. I really appreciate what you just shared. It seems like short-term missions can be part of an effective global mission strategy in the life of a local church or partnering churches. It's not the end-all, be-all, but if it helps advance more long-term missions, then it's a good piece of the puzzle and worth investing in. Not to your point, be good stewards. Not, it's not everything by any means.
Sure.
And I really appreciate how you've communicated about it, that it is a benefit to our students. Our posture is, to your point, not to go over there and say, here's how you do everything. Mm-hmm. We're going to learn. I can't wait to hear stories. Yeah,
oh, yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah. How about, I know it would take a while to explain, but maybe kind of a summary of what are some things the team has been equipped with or learning about cross-cultural missions, mm-hmm. just so there's some categories when, you know, especially our young people, our students land and be like, this is so different and disorienting.
Yeah. Yeah. So we, Andrew Hettinger, who attends our church, mm-hmm. His parents run an organization called Culture Bound, which is actually based out of Portland. It's a nonprofit that they train short-term and long-term missionaries. And so when we first announced we were doing this trip, another guy should have shouted out. Andrew immediately came up and said, hey, this is what, and Andrew helps do it too. This is what me and my parents do. Can you do that? I'm like, yes, let's do it. So,
awesome.
So they came about a month ago, met with us after church, had the whole team here. And what they do is they really help you understand like how to take in a different culture. Hmm. Yes, we had some practical things about how Tanzania's culture is different, but I thought they just gave really good tools and equipping of like that first time when we land in Dar es Salaam and it's a city of over a million people with no streetlights and just new sights, new smells, new everything. What do you do? And so even helping us say like, so maybe the first day you're there, you only are observing the sights that are different and let your brain process that. And then maybe the next day it's the sounds or the smells or what you're touching, you know, and so there's kind of like this broad overarching categories of things to kind of take in what you're doing. And then they have steps to kind of go down to more personal as you're starting to learn about individual people's stories and things like that. So it was really helpful to learn that, it like cultures are supposed to be different. That's okay. And just because they do something different, it doesn't mean they're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
And I think that was really good for our students to hear. And I mean, we should probably carry that. We live in a pretty multicultural
yes.
place where we are right now of it. Yeah. If they do it different, don't say, well, that's not how we do it. Instead, enjoy that they do it different and immerse yourself in it. Give it a shot. Give it a try. So I'm giving journals to all the students to even and I'm going to encourage them with that culture bound training we had of like even write notes, especially those first couple days. What are you seeing that's different? Mm-hmm. And if one person is focusing on the smells or the sounds, then maybe when we debrief every night, we'll hang out every night and debrief about the day. We can share with each other how we're processing this new place, this new culture. And I think it's
really
going to give us a deeper love and appreciation for it.
Yeah. Something I know you're of this mindset too, that I'm hopeful for and prayerful about is that as a team comes back, it can be a kind of catalyst to help equip and encourage GBC in terms of the nations that are in our own backyard.
Yeah.
Like the greater Portland area has, I mean, the nations are here.
Yeah,
so,
they are.
So this trip can help equip us in mm-hmm. so many different ways. Yeah. How about what have you found yourself praying about, praying for yourself, for the trip? And let's kind of use that as kind of a doorway into encouraging how GBC can be praying for the team.
Yeah. I mean, I'm praying for safety and travel. I don't think it's wrong to pray for safety and for health of people while we're there. Like, it seems like those are basic things to pray, but that makes a big difference if, you know, if we get delayed in travel, like that screws up stuff. Or if someone gets terribly sick, we do not want to have to deal with that. So, yeah, be praying for those basic things because that goes a long way. I mean, I'm praying that I can lead well and have a good attitude to demonstrate to them of when things go not the way we thought they were going to based on what the schedule was,
yep.
or I thought we were going to be at this place at 2:30. Well, we might be here till 4:30 now of like, I want to be flexible and try to demonstrate to them, hey, it's okay. We're not going to get frustrated. We're just going to go with the flow on this. I've been praying for those people of peace, persons of peace that Jesus even talks about when you go into towns to find the person that welcomes you and accepts you. And so I want to find those people of peace, of the people we're going to quickly connect with and start to have those relationships. And what's great about having such a big and diverse team is that different people are going to make different connections. Like, we don't all have to get along with the same people, some people are going to have something that they like more about someone else. And so with those immediate connections, then I'm praying for boldness, that we're not going just to become friends. Yes, we want to develop friendships with people, but we're going to share the gospel, and we're going to talk about how Christ has impacted our lives. And so I think the last part I'm praying and kind of trying to help our adults going as well is we have parts to play. Yes, we should be having gospel spiritual conversations, but I want our adults to be supporting the students as best we can to really challenge them of what are they going to do? How are they going to step up to the plate? And so just knowing the right way to lead our adults and lead the students within that I'm guilty of this in just ministry at GBC. Oh, I can just do it. You know, like it's really easy for us as full-time staff of like, oh, we'll just do it. But like, no, we're trying to equip them to do it, and especially boots on the ground. How can I best equip them instead of just I'll be the guy up front and then say, okay, you come do this, you come do this. Like, I want to see them really take some lead and ownership of things.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I would really encourage us as a church. So many people have been praying. Praise God. Continue to pray as you and the team prepare. Pray a lot while you guys are there. We'll talk more through what that can look like. So you guys will know, hey, GBC is praying for you. My prayer, I'm biased as a dad of a young person going on the trip, and also pastorally for our church, is that the gospel becomes more sweet in the lives of our team. To see it in all its color in a different context and nation, and that God's purposes are global. And I just, praying for that. Any encouragements? Wanted to bring this up. You would give, as you know, director of student ministries, you interact with our young people a lot. How about for parents? Any encouragements you'd give in terms of what you've seen or heard the students talk about? Are they going to have a hard time when they return? Any just things that'd be good for you to connect with parents through this forum right now?
Yeah. First of all, I think all of our parents should be encouraged of there's something going on with our students at our church in a good way of they are weird in a very good way of what will people think when they hear that they're Jesus freaks? We got a bunch of Jesus freaks.
You just dropped one of the best songs ever. Yeah. It's
not just their excitement for sharing the gospel across the world. They are doing it on a weekly basis on their school campuses and with their friends. And you could grab just about specifically high schoolers, any high schooler who have you shared the gospel with in the past week, and probably one of them can give you a specific name. It is really cool what's happening right now. And so I think that is an aspect of maturity in them and some sweetness of the gospel. And they're just, I think, understanding the burden that is placed on them of their missionaries. I tell them all the time, they're missionaries on their school campuses right now of that you got 12 years with some people you're going to go to school with, and you're not going to see most of these people ever again. So make it count. Yeah. And they're really doing it. So be encouraged by that. Be challenged by them. The students are sharing their faith more than I am right now, and probably more than some of our parents are. So step up, be like our students are. In terms of them coming back, it's going to be a letdown when they come back. I always talk about when we go even to Sacred Road or to Fuge, I relate often to the story of Elijah versus the prophets of Baal. He has two mountaintop experiences. The first one is this incredible moment where he prays to God and God brings down fire from heaven and the people are all excited. He's surrounded by the Israelites who say Yahweh's the one true God, and they take out the prophets of Baal. And then just a week later, he's fleed down to Mount Sinai, and he's super depressed right after this event happened, because while all these people believe, Jezebel is still out to get him. And he goes and has this moment with God, saying, like, why are you here? Like, I have people prepared for you. Elisha is going to help you. And it's a very different mountaintop experience, and a good one, that he's connected with God. But it's really easy to feel the high spiritual highs of man, we're all together. We're on mission. We're surrounded by an encourager like Agrippa and the people of Revival Baptist Church. And then we're going to have 40 hours of travel. Yeah. And then we're going to get, and it's a 10-hour time change. And even coming back to your own bed and your own place and seeing the people that, yes, we love our parents and friends and family and everything, it's not where we just were. And so it can take a little while to really readjust mentally, emotionally, and spiritually from things. So be patient. Yes, they're going to want to share stories. It could be that they get them all out the second they land, you know, or it could be it might take a day or two before, and it might take a while to get all of the stories out. And so, yeah, just be patient with the students and adults as well.
Yep.
Church is the Sunday after we get back. I've been joking with Mike. I don't know how many of us are going to be at service that
you
next
guys better
Sunday morning.
Be sleeping.
Yeah. I just have no idea. I mean, everybody reacts different to jet lag and all of that. But I suspect there is going to be an excitement to share stories. It just may not be immediate. And there might be some grumpiness because of being sleepy and tired. But again, just of, wow, where I was so different and amazing. And now I'm back in the Northwest is amazing too. I love the Northwest. God did a pretty good job creating it, but we're not going to see lions and giraffes and these people that love just dancing and praising God for 2 hours straight. A worship service on Sunday morning is going to feel very different than the services we're going to experience at Revival Baptist. And that's okay. So yeah, just be patient with them.
That's good. I appreciate you sharing that. I know we can all probably check the box intellectually. I think that's really important for the parents, but also for spouses and family and us as a church family to know how to be hospitable and prepared to welcome you all back and give you time and space to process things. And I would be encouraging us as a church to be intentional and prayerful about how to wrap around the team as they re-enter. Mm-hmm. So give people time and space. It'd be great to take the initiative to invite people over to hear their stories, check in with each other, and for us to be engaged with this as a whole church.
Yeah,
I think it's okay for me to share this. Lord willing, and again, I really mean that, underline it, highlight it. Lord willing, we want this to be the beginning of more and more in the life of our church, of being a church that are faithful evangelists near and far. And so short terms can be a really intentional on-ramp for more long-term and equipping our church. So I've been so encouraged how we're going about this now, and I'm sure we'll have opportunity to learn from it and grow as we go. But just want to encourage our church like to continue to have this be an all-church thing in our posture, in our prayers. And I can't wait like to hear what God's going to do in the team and on the field. And then when everybody gets back, man. So yeah, thanks for having this conversation. Yeah.
I can't believe we're 4 weeks away.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Crazy. So, all right. Hopefully this conversation's been helpful. Gresham Bible Church. Please be praying, even by name, for everybody on the team, and excited to entrust each life on the team to the Lord, and for us to see God's good work of grace in and through one another. So hopefully it's been helpful. If this episode sparks any questions or anything you want to talk about, would welcome that. That's the whole purpose of this podcast, is to spark real face-to-face conversations. So maybe reach out to me at church or whatever, or you can reach out to me at mike@greshambible.org. All right, Gresham Bible Church, love you. Until next time.